you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
Today on the LA Report, the Environmental Protection Agency issues the first nationwide guidelines for forever chemicals in water supplies. The rules are more strict than what California currently has in place. An exhibit in Orange County explores the local history of gay travel guides and the spaces they featured.
All sorts of businesses, all sorts of places of gathering that a lot of people just are unaware of.
And later, big overnight closures on the 101 start this week. It's for construction of the wildlife crossing in Agora Hills. We'll give you an update on what will be the world's largest bridge of its kind. It's Sunday, April 14th. I'm Julia Paskin, and that's coming up on the weekend edition of the LA Report from LAist 89.3. But first, here's the latest news. There has been a confirmed case of measles in LA County, according to public health officials. The person, who is not a local resident, traveled to a number of locations in the area between March 30th and April 1st. Health officials are warning those who visited those very same locations to be on the lookout for symptoms. So to see all of those spots and what to do if you think you have been exposed, go to LAist.com. LA City workers are looking at a pay raise under a tentative agreement, and a new report from the city's fiscal advisor looks at what that will do to the budget. LAist's Kevin Tidmarsh has more.
The proposed changes would add $300 million to the city budget for next year. That would increase to $1 billion yearly by 2028. The city is already facing a budget shortfall of nearly $400 million, in part because the police department negotiated raises last August. The tentative labor agreements, negotiated between Mayor Karen Bass and city employee unions, still need to be approved by the City Council. Later this month, Bass will release her budget proposal for the fiscal year starting July 1st. The current city budget is about $13 billion. For LAist 89.3, I'm Kevin Tidmarsh.
Meanwhile, some tenants at the Hillside Villa Apartments could receive rent subsidies under a proposal from LA housing officials. If approved, the new deal will help residents in more than 100 units to meet a steep rent hike. The Chinatown apartment complex has become a symbol in the fight over affordable rents in the city. The proposal is estimated to cost the city about $15 million. On Wednesday, the Housing Committee is slated to vote on the proposal before heading to the full City Council for approval. The Environmental Protection Agency issued the first nationwide guidelines for forever chemicals in water supplies. The rules are more strict than California's own guidelines, and CalMatters reporter Rachel Becker says the number of wells with unacceptable levels of forever chemicals could grow by over 250%.
And that's kind of the bottom range of the estimate, because even more water systems are going to be required to test under these new requirements.
Agencies will need to get in line with the new requirements within 5 years. There are ways to get these chemicals out of the water, but Becker adds that they are not cheap.
Some places that have already started working hard to remove these chemicals include Orange County and the Santa Clarita Valley, but the price tag's pretty high, you know, millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Some cities include Tustin and Pico Rivera. They have already raised their water rates to keep up with the state guidelines, and they may have to raise them more under the new EPA rules. Forever chemicals, also known as PFAS, have been linked to cancers, heart disease, strokes, and birth complications. In the 1960s, gay travel guides compiled safe places for those in the community to visit. The most well-known of these guides are called Dameron Address Books. They are the focus of an exhibit at the Museo in Anaheim. Here is co-director of the project, Eric Gonzaba.
For a lot of gay men and women, visibility was something that they wanted, right? They wanted to find one another for camaraderie, for friendship, and sometimes for sex, right? And that's a really important lesson that these gay guides tell us, is that people were constantly yearning to find one another.
Gonzaba adds that the exhibit highlights various gay bars in L.A., bathhouses in Long Beach, hotels in Palm Springs, and churches in Orange County.
I think people who come to the exhibit are surprised that it's not just a list of gay bars, that the gay travel guides talk about all sorts of businesses, all sorts of places of gathering that a lot of people just are unaware of.
You can find out more at LAist.com.
So more rain on the way this weekend. Showers most likely after 11 a.m. with a small chance of thunderstorms, though there's likely to be a quarter to a half inch of rain at most in most areas. There's also a high surf advisory on the coast starting at 9 a.m. The mountains are also under a winter weather advisory until 8 p.m. The sun will come back after the rain passes through tonight. Highs of 76 are in Tuesday's forecast. More after this break.
Imagine if you could charge your electric vehicle at the places you already love to eat, shop, and play. Whether you're at the movies, on your weekly grocery trip, or running errands at your local mall, Volta EV charging stations are built around your day-to-day and located in your community and nationwide. All you have to do is check in, plug in, and go about your day. It's EV charging made convenient. Download the Volta app to find your new favorite place to charge.
Back now to the LA Report. I'm Julia Paskin. Big freeway closures coming up starting overnight Monday. All southbound lanes of the 101 through Agora Hills will be closed for a few weeks. After that, the northbound lanes, and it's all for construction on the Wallace-Annenberg Wildlife Crossing. It's a milestone for what will be the world's largest ecological bridge. So I got an update from Beth Pratt, California Regional Executive Director for the National Wildlife Federation.
What you're seeing right now, if you drive on the freeway, is the vertical support structures, the abutments, as they call them. And so what this process is going to do is actually lower these enormous girders, which were manufactured off-site, I might add, to avoid longer freeway closures. And then it will really start looking like the bridge at this point it will eventually become. So very exciting time for the crossing.
And what is the estimated date of opening?
Original projected was late 2025. But the two wet springs have definitely taken their toll, or I guess winter too. The stage they're in construction, the soil compaction around these supports are really important. And of course, pouring concrete, both of those things are tricky to do in record flooding downpours. They were hoping they could make up time, but it's looking now like it's going to creep into 2026, so which is still pretty good considering, as we all know, the flooding events that have occurred now 2 years in a row.
And for folks that are thinking, well, that sounds like a lovely place to take a walk, is that going to be the kind of space that people are invited into?
Not on the bridge, but certainly there are trails on either side of it where you can view it. So the bridge itself is just going to be for wildlife. But the Santa Monica Mountains Conservancy and MRCA, again, two vital partners in this effort, it is protected land on both sides with trails. So Frank and Joanne Randall made a wonderful contribution, and there will be a Frank and Joanne Randall educational overlook on one of the trails. So not on the crossing, but people can hike up and have a splendid view of the crossing from above. So certainly you won't be able to be on it, but you'll be able to have views of it while you're taking a hike.
And why is it important that people not share that space with the wildlife?
It's interesting. If you actually look at the science, these animals are kind of sharing our trails. And when we actually put out the original scope, we had a trail connecting them, but the public came back, and I love this, and said, no, we just want it for wildlife. And so we did. In an area where so many people have access to it, you don't want crowds on top of it, and you know that's what would inevitably result. So we're keeping it off limits, which is, to me, really vital, just because wildlife does not have primacy in so many places. So I have no problem with not having a trail.
Remind us about the stakes here, Beth. A lot of folks know the name P22, who crossed two freeways to get to Griffith Park, where he lived for 10 years. But many of his counterparts in the Puma community, they don't make that trip safely. So can you give us a kind of rough estimate of the impact that freeway collisions have on the mountain lion population and why that's an issue?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge issue. And
mountain lions are sort of at the top of the animals at risk. You know, P22 was our poster cat for this cause, right? Here's this cat who made a perilous journey that I don't know how he survived. Most of his mountain lion relatives do not. You know, the National Park Service research shows that most males don't live past the age of two in the Santa Monica Mountains. The stakes are high. P22's legacy is getting this crossing built, because if we don't get it built, we will not have mountain lions in the Santa Monica Mountains. As, again, the same National Park Service research shows, they are inbreeding themselves out of existence because the 101 freeway has isolated them. I will add, though, it's not just mountain lions. They are most acutely at risk. But this fragmentation is impacting wren tits and western fence lizards. So this is more than the mountain lions, although they are most imminently at risk. It is reconnecting the whole Santa Monica Mountains ecosystem to be resilient in these times when wildlife needs all the help they can get.
That was Beth Pratt, California Regional Executive Director for the National Wildlife Federation. Read more about the wildlife crossing and details of the 101 overnight freeway closures at LAist.com. Thanks for listening to the weekend edition of the LA Report. The Weekend LA Report is hosted by me, Julia Paskin, and produced by Monica Bushman and Kevin Tidmarsh. Our engineer is Sean Corey Campbell. The podcast is edited by Fiona Ng. Catherine Mailhouse is the Director of Content Development, and our Vice President of Podcasts is Shayna Naomi Crockmall. Join us back here tomorrow. You can read more at LAist.com and listen live on the LAist app or on the radio at 89.3 FM. Listeners like you help make the LA Report possible. Please donate at laist.com/join. This podcast is supported by Gordon and Donna Crawford, who believe quality journalism makes Southern California a better place to live.
LAist Studios operates within the homelands of the Gabrielino Tongva people. We recognize the painful history of displacement, settler colonialism, and erasure of the people, their language, and their sovereignty. Visit laist.com/land for more information. We encourage you to get curious about the land on which you live and work.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at laist.com/sweeps.